Good morning, folks. Again, it's good to see you. Appreciate you being with us as we gather together today. Appreciate all those who are listening in by the way of internet or whatever the means might be. And to that person, Lord willing, time goes on, one day it might be played back and somebody might have an opportunity to listen and learn more. But you can rest assured of one thing. It won't be because of me. It'll be because of our great Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. And what He has done and is doing and will do. You need to remember, we've looked at the book of Revelation. He says which was and which is to come. The Almighty. But again, I do thank you for being with us today. As we continue to look, we're 20th chapter of the book of Revelations. And I'm going to be the first to tell you today that I'm in a part of Revelations. There's some things that I cannot explain and I do not understand. I might bring those to your attention. So maybe you can study and maybe the Lord might reveal something to you He's not revealed to me. Maybe we all learn together. That's what it's all about. So, but I do thank you again for your presence. I thank the Lord for His blessing. So bow with us in just a word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Lord, again, we come to you today. Lord, we humble ourselves before you and know that within ourselves we cannot comprehend one word from this precious book. We know that it's done by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, it amazes me as I look back over the years of how thoughts and things come to mind and we don't even know where they come from other than by your precious word and spirit. As you enlighten it to us and help us to understand it. And Lord, we don't know what we're missing if we don't study your word. Spend much time in it because it's a comfort and a blessing and a joy as we read and you open it up before us. And Lord, we do thank you for that opportunity. And Lord, how you work through your precious word. Lord, I thank you for this church and each one who's here this day and each one that's listening in. And we ask you now, Lord, that you'd bless and open our minds and hearts and help us to understand. Thus saith the Lord. Lord, we'll never know it all, not supposed to know it all, because it was not your will that we know it all. We can't comprehend it all. We don't have that ability to comprehend it all. Lord, again, now we'd ask the blessings upon this church, not only this day, but every day that you bless us to move forward in a work for you. Lead and guide and direct. Lord, give Brother Billy the plan that you have for this group of believers and help him to know the way to lead. And thus saith the Lord in this direction. And bless all that are part. Keep us humble that you might be exalted. We lift up the most precious name, the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter number 20. Now we talked about the resurrection some last Sunday and the resurrection of those martyred saints during the tribulation period. Now, we're fixing to go into that millennial rule of 1,000 years. We talked about this. Now, some things here from here on that are hard to I don't know about you, but they're hard for me to put together. So I'll mention those to you. We'll talk about them to some. But to tell you that I've got a specific, yes, this is it, this is the way it is, where it's going to be, read this verse, this tells you, I don't have that this morning. The Lord's not given that to me. If it's here in this book, I've not found it. Don't mean that it's not here does not mean he might not reveal it to us. But I'm telling you this morning, I don't have it. So, well, let's go back. Let's look at this millennial for just a little bit and think on it and what has taken place. Now, we have seen where the martyred saints, those who were martyred during the tribulation period, those that didn't have the mark of the beast, we saw where they were resurrected at the end of the tribulation period. We saw that in chapter, this chapter number 20, and we back up to, you know, if we look at verses 4 through 6, we see those things. And it talks about the rest of the dead, but the rest of the dead will not be resurrected. Those who are lost are not resurrected at this time. Now, the 1,000 years, a millennial, is going to begin. And I need to refer you back. Let me read verse number 7 for just a moment. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now, you know that at the end of the tribulation period, we read where Satan is bound and chained and put in the bottomless pit. Not put in hell, he's put in the bottomless pit, and he's sealed in that pit. And he's sealed there for this 1,000 years of millennial. And it's going to put us back in a position a little, and I want you to pay attention to the word little. It put us back in a situation to where we are a little bit like the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve sinned. But keep in mind, I said a little. Because now, from Adam to the day that we sit and stand here, man has a sinful nature in him. And anybody that's living in a natural body that goes into the 1,000 years millennial reign, he's a natural man, and he's got that natural sin nature in him. That's important to keep that in mind. And with that natural sin nature in him, he can be tempted just like you and I are today. Okay? So we need to keep that thought in mind as we look. Now the question is, who is involved in the 1,000 years millennial reign? Where do those people come from that are in the 1,000 years of the millennial reign? We know that there's been 144,000 Jews. They've been sealed. They've been placed in a protected place during the tribulation period. And I believe that is God's chosen number of Jews that's going to go into the millennial reign. And they have a special place there. But now they are Jews. Now, if we read, we're going to find that when Satan's turned loose, there's going to be a lot of deception taking place. And there's going to be a multitude. We're going to read that in just a little bit. Now, the thing that I'm interested in is, who are they? At the end of the tribulation period, it talks about the martyred saints that are resurrected. those that are killed. And from what I can see, every Christian at the end of the tribulation period is not going to be killed or resurrected. I believe at the end of the tribulation period, those that are unsaved, those unbelievers, they're gone. They're killed at the end of the tribulation. Because we've got to have both Jews and Gentiles on this earth during the millennial reign. And in some perspective, some scholars say, well, those Jews are just going to walk right on into the new heaven and new earth and not be resurrected or changed. And we know that can't happen. It's absolutely impossible for that to take place. Because what does God's word say? Flesh and blood can what? Cannot enter into the heavens, the abode. So something has got to happen now to every physical body that's going to be involved in the 1,000 years of millennial reign. So now let's think on this for just a moment and see where we are. If the martyred saints are resurrected, they're part of the first resurrection, those are to kill, then we've got some Gentile saints that made it through tribulation period and were not killed. And we're not resurrected with the martyrs. It said the martyr saints are resurrected. So now we have got both Jews and Gentiles going into the millennial reign. 1,000 years of millennial reign, there can be a lot of children born. See, we're still in the natural body. Things are going on just like they are today as far as the physical individual is concerned. So they can still be births. You know, if we think about the flood, and there won't but just the family left in the flood, and it didn't take long for it to be a lot of people, did it? So, you know, so now here we are, 1,000 years, Christ is totally in charge. Now, if we look, it says he rules with a rod of iron. That's a little bit unusual statement, is it not? So he's got a hard, sovereign rule. Does that mean that just because he's ruling and reigning, and just because he's an environment such as there is during the millennial. Some say that we're going back like it was before the flood when we saw people live to be 700, 800, 900 years old. Think on that for just a moment. Millennial reign is not but 1,000 years. So men would be living longer. Race would be living longer. But just because God's got everything under control and we kind of have another environment during the millennial, like the Garden of Eden, does not mean that that natural man is still a natural man. And he might accept that rule of authority on him, over him for a while. But at the same time, how about the heart? Is he only accepting it in mind and not in heart? See, somebody's got to be deceived when the devil comes back after the millennial reign. And Adam and Eve had never sinned, didn't know what sin was. But when Satan beguiled them, what did they do? And they didn't even have the human nature in them like we've got and like those in the millennial reign will have. And he deceived them. So there's going to be a lot of deceiving and deception going on shortly after the millennial reign. So now let's talk about that for just a moment. Verse number 7, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Had a sister walk up to me last Sunday after service and says, how long? Well, let me back up with you for just a moment. You know, in the society we live in today, with all the sophisticated electronics and everything that we've got, you can spread a word to work across this nation in a hurry now. And if we look at in this 20th chapter, I want you to look at verse number 3, I believe it is. And this is when he was bound. It says, cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. And what's the next word? See? Until. That he don't deceive what? Who? Nations. We're talking about a multitude. That he don't deceive the nations. So the deceiver is out of the picture for a while. But now I want you to notice, he deceived the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Next statement. And what? And after that he, next word, must. You draw a line under that and circle it. He must. Yes, sirree, for 1,000 years he'd been shut up, sealed, and had deceived absolutely nobody. But he must be loosed. How long is he going to be loosed? He must be loosed for what? For a little season, for just a short time. Now, I can't tell you how long that is. Only God knows that. But he's going to be loosed for a little while. And when he's turned loose, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to do the same thing that he's always done. He's a deceiver, he's a liar, and he's always been a liar and always will be a liar. And he's going to always use and paint a pretty picture to deceive somebody into his trap. And it's going to be no different when the millennial reign is finished. Now watch what he does. He's loosed for that little season. Verse number 8. And shall go to what? In verse number 8. To deceive. And who is he going to deceive? He's going to the nations again. He's going to the whole universe. He's going to the whole world. And he's going to them with his deceptive practices, just like he's always done. And what's going to happen when he does? It's going to be interesting to me, and I'll be listening so I'll know what he says. Thing is, I'm going to be with Christ reigning. But it's going to be interesting to me what his tactic is going to be to deceive all the world and all the nations again in that little bit of season that he's got. You know, when he tempted Adam and Eve, what did he do? The most what creature? Most subtile, you see? He paints a pretty picture with a big trap in it. And he's going to do that here. He's going to paint a pretty picture. So what does he do? those nations which are in the four corners of the earth, north, south, east, and west, all the world, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for what? For battle. You know, the nation of Israel was experiencing some of that today. It's beginning to come from them now from all sides. So we might be really beginning to see the end coming faster than we've ever seen it come. And I'll tell you something. And you know, the thing that amazes me now, Israel didn't start this. Hamas started this. But how much have you heard about, we need to go do something about Hamas. We need to get rid of Hamas. We need to get rid of them. They're the ones that started this thing. They're the ones, the reason that these people are in the situation that they're in now. The devil don't care about people, folks. He could care less about people. He don't care how much you struggle. All he wants to do is get a young person to try that dope one time and get them addicted and then hang to them. They don't care what, he don't care what happens to them. He could care less. So here he says, I'm going to gather them all together. See, he's still, at this point, what is he trying to do? If we look and see what he does, it's easy to understand. So let's read on a little bit. He says, he gathers them together, the number of who is as the what? Sands of the sea. That's a lot of people. And it says, from all the nations, which tells me that you got to have both Jews and Gentiles involved in this. And it says, and they came up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. So who is he going after? He's still going after God's people. He's still going after the saints. That's not all he's going after. And he says, in the beloved city, Jerusalem, the city of God, the city where Christ is going to reign out of. So who is he really after? He's after anybody that has anything to do with God or Christ, and he's after him, and he's still after his throne. I'm going to destroy him. This is my last go, and I'm going to get him. And he says, I've gathered all the nation, not just a few. I've gathered them all together now. I've got them deceived and they're on my side. And we're going to go make battle, and this is going to be the final battle. And I've got enough of them now to run over this place and take that throne that Christ is sitting on. He ain't never got the picture yet, I don't believe. I might need to tell him something this morning in case he don't understand. Devil, you ain't bigger than God and Christ. But he just can't get that. He's fixing to. Look at the next verse. Finish this verse. He circled the city to rage in battle. And fire came down from who? From God. Out of heaven. And said what? Poof. He turned them to powder right quick. It's done with. It's over. Satan, let me tell you something. Way back under, I let you take my son, and I let you nail him to a cross. because I love my people. And their sins must be paid for. And I let my son pay for it. And I used you to put him there. I used you to fulfill my purpose and my promise to mankind. And I've set him on that throne over Jerusalem during this reign. But let me tell you something. That's my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And I'll put up with you as long as I'm going to put up with you. And I'm going to boop and get rid of you. That's all I got to do. All I've got to do is speak it and it's done. And he spoke it and fire came down and devoured them. And the devil in verse number 10 that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented a day or two. Well, you're going to just torment him a day and let him sleep at night, I reckon. Is that what that says? I believe it says a day and night, does it not? And then, does that say a week or two? Forever and ever. And I reckon then it says, Satan, how you like that? I believe that's what I'd asked him. Take that away. As we say, put that in your pipe and smoke it. You got plenty of fire to light it, so just go ahead and put that in your pipe and smoke it while you're down there. Now we're fixing to go into the white throne judgment. Now in chapter number 20 and verse number 5 it says, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. And then we talked about the resurrection last Sunday, the parts of the resurrection, Christ, the first fruits. We talked about those things. Now, here we have that but is completed. The lost are now going to be resurrected and stand before the Lord. Those that we saw that were zapped in verse number 9 will also be standing there. Every individual who's died without the saving grace of Jesus Christ and their sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ will stand at this white throne judgment. And give an answer to God. Now, mind you, you're going to give an answer to God. Now, look, watch this as it unfolds. But here's a question before we unfold that. And here's one I've not found the answer to. He said, blessed and holy is he who hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power. We know there's 144,000 Jews plus. We know there's that many that were sealed in their forehead during the tribulation period. Chosen, called for a specific person to go into the millennium. Why is there a millennial reign anyway? Why is there going to be a millennial reign? That's right, because God Almighty in Christ promised that he would sit on the throne of David and be the Jews, the nation of Israel. He would be their king, their earthly king. And all that millennial reign is to fulfill that promise. And he will sit on the throne, on David's throne, and fulfill that promise to the nation of Israel and be their earthly king. And they're going to be here in a physical body. And all those others that we see there that he deceived, they're going to be here in a physical body. But they got to be resurrected. I don't have this answer exactly how that plan is. To make those who are trusted in him, those who the devil has not deceived during the millennial reign, they have got to be resurrected and they've got to be changed and receive a new body like you and I have before they can stand in his presence. I don't have that answer for you. I'm still looking. You pray the Lord let us see that if he wills that we see that. But now let's look at something. Watch this now. And he said, I saw a white horse, and him that sat on it, from whom face the earth and the heavens flee away. Oh boy, here comes Christ on that white stallion. So bright that I bet with physical eye, if you look on him, it blinds you. They told us not to look at the sun the other day in the eclipse. That ain't nothing to what this is going to be like. It says, what? He says, whom face the heavens and the earth fled away. And they were found what? No place. No place. Wouldn't you love to stand before Christ this morning and hear him say, I see no place for you in my plan of eternity and heaven's joys. I see a place for you, but it's not with me. He says, my desire is that you do what? That you be where I am. That is Christ's desire. But for you and I to be in his presence and where he is, that can only come through and by the shed blood of Calvary and forgiveness of sin. And here it says there's no place found for these. And he said, John saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, I'm looking at something in this particular verse in a little bit different perspective than I've looked at it before. Don't take this for truth. I might say this is maybe one of my opinions before I go any farther in there. And he said, I saw the dead, all those who were killed, not only at the end of millennial rule, but for all eternity. We're going to go all the way back from day one when man was created. And every person who's ever died without Christ is going to stand. Notice it says the dead. There's two things when we look at the word dead. We can talk about a physical death, but we also talk about a spiritual death. They died without Christ. We call them, God's word calls them dead. Now, he said he saw all of them, both what? Both small and great. So your authority and your place in physical life and in this world today don't hold any light here. I don't care what your position is in society. You can be president or you can be a drunk in the ditch. Same level. So your prestige, my prestige, wasn't kind of thing here. But now, notice another word in this particular verse. He said, I saw the dead, small and great, do what? Stand. You ever seen a dead man stand? So see, this has to be reference to those who are dead without Christ. They're spiritually dead. They know not Christ. And they stand. And they're going to stand before Him. And when they stand before Him, something's going to happen. And it says, and when he opened the books. Notice books, not singular. Many books, a plural open of the books. The books were open. And then he said, there's another book that's open. And what's that book? The book of life. What is the book of life? That's God's record book, right? In that record book, your name better be written in that record book in red, the blood of Christ. Because therein is your eternal life. If your sins have not been covered and you've not been saved by His marvelous grace, if you've not received Him as Lord and Savior, then your name's not written. But at the same time, this word dead in this particular verse, could that also mean physically dead too? There's something in this verse I want you to look at for just a moment. I've always looked at it in a little bit different light than I'm looking at it this morning. Because of the statement that I've just said about those who are in a physical body who died during that last battle that we just talked about. Their body's got to be changed. Now, at this particular time, when these dead stand, is it going to be all those who have died at the end of the millennium? And then all those who are dead spiritually from creation. And now they're all going to be standing. Now let's look at this verse again. He said, and another book was opened. Now notice it says, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of both things which were written in the books according to their works. So what's in those books? When Christ comes, and we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, what's going to be judged at that judgment seat? What are we going to be judged for at the judgment seat? For what we've done in service to Him. We're not looking at are we judged worthy to go to heaven. Only we're worthy to go to heaven because of the blood of Christ and we've been washed and cleansed from our sins in it. And what He's working with now is that talent that I give you to serve me, what have you done with it? Have you used it for my work, for my glory, and for my service? And we'll receive reward from it. That'll happen at the judgment seat. Now, here we are again. And it said they were judged out of those things that were written or recorded in the books. If we got rewards in heaven, there must be going to be some rewards in hell. And that punishment can be mighty severe, and I guess it can get hotter and hotter, the only thing I know. But I think there's going to be degrees of punishment in hell, depending on how good or bad you might say that person that's lost was. But it said they're judged according. But now, I'm interested in this little phrase. Only I'm already, I'm over, folks. Time's up. You know we're going to have to come back to this next Sunday, Lord willing, we're all living. You take food for thought this week. Read and study some. Okay? God bless you. Lord willing, we'll see you next Sunday.